Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Updating you with some new information. And it's funny to me that the last time, the last rerun last week ended with a statement that I made something about, well, we're going to be going back to a fake Christian magazine called, my fake magazine, Christian magazine series. Remember that? You know, so it's funny, you know, I'm taking another stab at it. And the thing is, current events and other information comes in sometimes while I'm involved in a series. And so I will take a little I'll take a little curve and go off to a side road for a little bit and look at some other things and then come back. And so really, there have been a lot of current events and other things that have been taking place over the last month or so while I was waiting to get back in the saddle again. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. And so I'm easing back into that study. We're looking at Relevant Magazine. We've already looked at Charisma. We looked at Sojourners. And I've described Relevant Magazine in the past as being sort of a cross between Charisma and Sojourners, because Charisma Magazine is really, might be known as Charismaniac Magazine because of a lot of the strange things that come forth, heretical teachings and ideas that come from the charismatic world. Not that all charismatics are heretical, of course, but that magazine promotes a lot of heretical people. And then Sojourners, of course, which is sort of a progressive, emergent, church-friendly type liberal magazine. And like I say, Relevant is really a cross between the two. And we just got our foot in the door the last time I was talking about Relevant Magazine, and had looked at the first issue that we were going to look at, and ended with Jim Wallace, by the way, who you will hear his name a lot. You have in the past if you're familiar with my podcast, and you'll be hearing a lot more in the coming weeks as we look at some of these events that have been taking place in the world of Christendom, and things that, again, they just dovetail with a lot of the content of Relevant Magazine, a lot of the things that are going on in the so-called Christian world. And so anyway, I wanted to explain to you, when I say back in the saddle again, my computer, I had a computer situation where the motherboard on my computer was just about ready to, you know, wave the white flag. And I was told by some folks out at the Geek Squad that that's what it looked like it was. And let me back up. The day before that, I went out there to the Geek Squad. I had taken my wife to her eye doctor, and she had had cataract surgery. And the doctor had called our house the night before. And, you know, it was we didn't know who the caller was, so we didn't pick up the call. And he left a message. So he heard my message about Biblical Discernment and Research Center. And so the next day, I went to the Geek Squad, and then later we went to the doctor for the follow-up to the operation. And so I say all that just to tell the story here, and God is so good and so gracious and the way he works. But I had talked to Evan, the man over at the Geek Squad, and I told him, I said, well, that's a shame. I said, I won't be able to do podcasts for a while because the computer situation. And he goes, oh, you know, you do a podcast. And I said, yeah. So he said, well, tell me, what's it about? And I told him, and of course, I didn't know Evan from Adam. It turned out he was a Christian, and he was very interested in the content of my podcast. He was all excited about it. And I said, wow, that's really neat. I said, I have some brochures if you'd like one that will tell you about Rapture Ready Radio and some of our other speakers. And he was excited to get it. And I said, sure. So I came back and I gave him one. So the next day when we were seeing my wife's eye doctor, we were talking with him and a nurse. Well, the nurse turned out to be his wife. And he mentioned something about, I was interested about your message you left on your phone. And it came to find out that they were Christians. And I said, yeah, I'm involved in discernment type ministry. And he said, his wife said, well, you know, we see our practice, our doctor's practice here as a ministry. And I said, wow, well, I believe it, you know, because he had called back to follow up on my wife. He had prayed with her after the surgery, and he has a big portrait in his office of Jesus standing by an eye surgeon, you know, helping the surgeon along. And I thought, wow, this guy is great, before we even really got to know him very well. And so they wanted to know more about my ministry, and I told them, I said, yeah, I have some brochures. I said, you'll be the second person that I've ever given one to. I gave one to the guy out at the Geek Squad, because I had to go see him because my computer was on the blank, and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And anyway, I said, so I have some brochures like I had given to him, and this and that and the other. And they said, and so anyway, I had mentioned, yeah, that my computer's just about shot, it looks like. And they said, oh, really? So after we were through talking with them and had a good time with them sharing, and we were leaving, it turned out that they were also interested in getting the brochure, and so was their Christian lady up at the front desk. I said, well, I will bring them back next time, you know, my wife comes back to see you. I'll bring them then. If that's okay, that's fine, that's great. And right before we went out the door, the doctor's wife came up. She said, you know, how much does it cost to fix a motherboard? And I said, well, I really don't know. I said, what I would probably do is just get a refurbished computer. That's what I did last time. And she said, well, how much would it cost to have a refurbished computer? And I said, well, I paid $350 last time. She said, oh, okay. She said, well, hold on just a minute. And she went back and came back again and produced a check for $350. She said, we wanted to help your ministry. Isn't God good? We didn't know these people. We had just met them the day before when he had operated on my wife's eye. And you know, our ministry is, we don't have a lot of resources. My ministry, I don't have a lot of resources. And Rapture Ready Radio, you know, we don't have lots of resources. We're not underwritten by anybody or anything else. And so, you know, we look to the Lord to take care of us, to meet our needs, and to, you know, and God has blessed me in so many other ways to do this ministry. So anyway, I wanted to share that because I was blessed so much by it. And we got to see the doctor again, actually, yesterday, because my wife had her second eye done. So please pray for my wife that everything would work out with both eyes. The first eye, everything was fine, and she has some concerns right now, but it's only been 2 days. So, but anyway, I just wanted to share a little testimony of goodness of God. I had shared some time ago on one of my podcasts about the apostle of faith, you know, as I think he was known as. And he lived about 200 years ago, and his name escapes me right now. Isn't that crazy? But anyway, I had shared about him because, you know, he never asked for support for anything. He just looked to God and trusted God and prayed. And still can't remember his name. So, but anyway, I don't want to take any more time with that. But just to say that, you know, God's good, and he's promised to meet our needs, and he will. And he'll meet every legitimate need that we have. So I have a new computer. I've got it set up, and I'm back in the saddle again, as I say. And so now let's move on. I wanted to mention that Relevant Magazine, which is published by Steve Strang, I believe his name is, who is he's the son of the publisher of Charisma Magazine. And I can't remember which Strang or Strange it is. Forgive me for that. What I'm sharing right now is kind of off the cuff. But anyway, and it's not, you know, I'll get to more details as I look more at the magazine in the near future. But the point that I wanted to say was that they not only publish the magazine, but they also have a book publishing wing too. And I have a couple of books that I had picked up over time. One of them is called Enjoying God, and it has a foreword by Mike Bickle, of course, the infamous Mike Bickle, of IHOP, International House of Prayer in Kansas City. You've heard me talk often about them. It's a group of false prophets that, and Mike Bickle is the chief leader of that whole group. And then another, and another book called Red Moon Rising. Mike Bickle also wrote the foreword for that book. And both of these published by Relevant Books. So, you know, I don't know how many others they have published, but or how many other books they have out there. But in other words, it's not a small thing that they do. They have a magazine that's very popular with young people. And, you know, they're putting out the Kool-Aid, you know, for a lot of young people to drink. And they are also publishing books, as far as I know. I guess they're still doing that. Those are a couple of books I've had for a while. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that before we move on. I left off with Jim Wallis in the magazine from July, August 2014. And Jim Wallis was the last person that I had commented on. And then as I go to the next segment here, the next magazine actually is the January-February 2014 issue, actually 2016, correction here. And it's funny, I didn't plan it this way, but the first thing that I comment on, or that I will comment on, is an ad for Jim Wallis's book, America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. I bet you didn't know that was America's Original Sin. I thought everybody's original sin was Eve's original sin in the garden and Adam's. But anyway, I won't go into any detail with that right now because with the remainder of my time today, I want to look at some of the current events that have been taking place over the last month or so that we've been doing the rapid replays that I wanted to get out there. And like I say, much of this dovetails with the content of Relevant Magazine. So don't worry, I am eventually going to do a more thorough look at the Relevant content in the near future. But in the meantime, and let me just say this, and I've already kind of alluded to this, but Relevant is really the worst of two worlds. The charismatic excesses, like I said, in charisma, and then the liberal Christianity that you find that's becoming so much so popular within evangelicism. There's always been the liberal denominations out there, but more and more we're seeing a very sad, and I think part of the apostasy predicted in Scripture, we see liberalism invading, infesting much of evangelicism. And I'll be getting more into that probably. I don't know if I'll reach what I want to do with that in this podcast, but we'll be talking more about some of the stuff that's going on in within the greater realm of evangelicism. Now, I've noticed, of course, this is a political season. We just had the midterm elections. And as I say, liberal Christianity is infesting much of the political system now. I did an interview with Cindy Hartline of Love for the Truth Radio, and my talk was really about, you know, emergent progressives and contemplative, quote-unquote, Christians. And so, you know, for those who may have missed that, you might want to check that out. It's an hour-long interview wherein I go into a lot of detail, you know, concerning liberalism in its many forms today, and that is infesting the evangelical church, as I say. I think this is pertinent considering, you know, all the false Christian wolf pastors that are at work today. Even today, and or, you know, not today, but recently, I should say, I was listening to the news, and a bunch of these false wolf pastors were harassing Jeff Sessions over President Trump's immigration policies. Now, Jeff Sessions is actually a member of the United Methodist Church, which at first glance would strike me a little odd, you know, because I would think, well, they're really liberal, you know, but because of Sessions' stance on certain things, and don't get me wrong, I have some, you know, there's some things I don't like about Jeff Sessions, but and he's no longer going to be with us, you know, if you're keeping up with the news, he will no longer be under Trump's administration. But anyway, just to make the point, he was being harassed by some of these liberal pastors, and from what I understand, a number of them were from his own church denomination, the United Methodist Church. And they're very liberal, of course. And in fact, Hillary Clinton claims the United Methodist Church is her church, and she had made the statement that she wanted to be a pastor in that church. Lord help us. I don't know what would be worse, president or pastor. But anyway, here I am getting all political on you. But actually, both would be bad. Anyway, you know, she actually wanted to be a pastor in this denomination, and I made a little note, you know, when she's not channeling demons, impersonating people like Eleanor Roosevelt, because this is a noteworthy and easily found fact. This isn't just made up on the internet somewhere. She had a New Age leader named Jean Houston, when her husband was president, come to the White House and was teaching her occult practices at the White House. Now, she tried to spin it later that it was just a psychological exercise and not a religious ritual. But it was religious, all right. You know, the devil is very religious. And so, you know, what was taking place was not just some psychological experiment or exercise. Just because Jean Houston is a humanistic psychologist, she's also a well-known New Age leader, which you'll see as I look a little bit into her background. But I really have a point in all this. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the president's immigration policies, for instance. You know, the Antichrist needs to have he wants to bring about a one-world government. In the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, there was an attempt at a one-world government. And God said, nope, not going to do it. And that was kind of the end of that. And he spread the people out. And he wanted there to be national boundaries. You know, Lord help us if we call ourselves a nationalist, because suddenly we may become a white nationalist, and suddenly we may become an anti-Semite or some other type of racist person or whatever. But in reality, if you're a nationalist and you support your country and you believe in your country, then you're not going the way of globalism, which is contrary to the way of God and the will of God, as we can see in Genesis, I believe it was chapter 11, where the Tower of Babel didn't work out for the folks then, just as the one world government isn't going to work out for all eternity, as we'll see as you look at the book of Revelation. And then, of course, we also know that the Antichrist is going to use a false one world religion. He'll be setting up a temporary one world government, and he'll be using a one-world religion. And the difference between the church, which Christ refers to as his bride, which is an enduring term, of course, for his wife, but the difference between that and the Antichrist's religious system, which God himself refers to as a whore or a great harlot, tells you something about the difference between these two religious, quote-unquote, religious movements. And you know, the devil is he's the guy who invented religion. Cain and Abel. You know, Cain wanted to do it his way. Abel did it God's way. Cain killed Abel, and that was the first religious act, really, because religion's not where it's at, of course. It's a relationship with Christ. And all other religions are based upon works, and all other religions are man-made and demon-inspired, and they're not from God, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so we see that this experiment with Jean Houston and Hillary Clinton was not an experiment, a psychological exercise. It was actually an attempt to contact dead spirits, necromancy, which is forbidden in the Bible, an occult form, channeling, whatever you want to call it, guided imagery is how I heard someone describe it. But whatever it was, it wasn't of God, and it wasn't anything a Christian or a pastor should do. But this is what progressive Christianity is about, is going into other realms, other unbiblical practices and everything else. And because I would definitely say that Hillary Clinton, in wanting to be a pastor with this liberal church, would be very much known as a progressive, not just politically, but spiritually, and in a form of progressive Christianity. So, like I say, the devil is very religious, and another of his false religious movements is so-called progressive Christianity, which I've talked about a lot in the past. Progressive Christianity is a social gospel works religion that's based on Matthew 25 being taken out of context, and which, by the way, was the scripture that these United Methodist wolf pastors were screaming at sessions. You know, you take away that scripture, you know, the scriptures in Matthew 25 and the Sermon on the Mount, and judge not lest you be judged, and you pretty much have replaced the progressives or the liberals' very thin Bible, because most of it is not relevant to them or their tactics. And you know, oh yeah, and then red letter, of course, the red letter Christians, that's a way of denouncing the rest of the Bible, you know, just picking out the red letter words that Jesus said and then using those to speak contrary to everything else in the whole counsel of God's Word that God has taught us and wants us to learn. Anyway, let me tell you how I really feel. No. but anyway, speaking of Jean Houston, I wanted to take a look at her before we move on in this area of the politics with the time we have left. In a profile from the Watchman Fellowship on Jean Houston, and these are, I find these to be very helpful. They're four-page, what they call profiles on various false religions and false religious leaders, wolves, false prophets, etc., cults. This one about Jean Houston says, Jean Houston is an author of 15 books and is one of the most high-energy and aggressive conference speakers and seminar leaders in the country. So says Bob Woodward, a Washington Post editor. In his book, The Choice, part of which exposed the unconventional relationship of Jean Houston with Hillary Clinton. I never read that book. I'm going to have to look for that one. But I'm well aware of this whole experience with Jean Houston and Hillary Clinton. But apparently Woodward wrote about it in this book called The Choice. Who is Jean Houston and why does her friendship with the First Lady cause controversy? She is described in her own brochures and by other writers as a leading pioneer in the exploration of human potentials and human consciousness. A world-renowned philosopher, psychologist, teacher, storyteller, and evocateur, and as a sacred psychologist and global midwife, whatever that is. Gordon Melton's New Age Encyclopedia describes Houston as a major figure in the human potential movement. As the keynote speaker for a national conference of the American Association of Counseling and Development, she was billed as the premier presenter in the field of New Age human capacities and altered states. She is a fixture at such New Age events and organizations as the Esalen Retreats, I've talked about them in the past, the Omega Institute, and Windstar Foundations. She's past president of the Association for Humanistic Psychology. I mentioned that. Her influence has reached even the White House. During numerous lengthy stays with Hillary Clinton, Houston has led the First Lady into guided imagery or meditation sessions to contact and consult with Eleanor Roosevelt. And that was from, you can read that in Newsweek, July 1st, 1996, on page 26, in case anybody thinks we're making this stuff up. Now, Houston's first grade teacher at a Catholic school so strongly disciplined her, according to Houston, that it somehow led her to escape into a profound mystical experience, an Eastern pantheistic monistic revelation. And this is from Melton's New Age Encyclopedia. She later attended New York's High School for the Performing Arts. While at Bernard College, she claims to have sustained a head injury, which left her blind. She recovered her sight after supposedly receiving a visitation from herself. Only 20 years older, who revealed that her future was going to be extraordinary. In the 60s, Houston married Robert Masters, the psychotherapist and sexologist who co-authored the notorious Masters-Johnson Report. Houston and her husband also developed the Altered States of Consciousness Induction Device, better known as the Witch's Cradle. When legal restrictions made hallucinogenic drug research more difficult, Houston and Masters began to focus on the use of meditation and guided imagery or visualization as an alternative technique for inducing altered states of consciousness. They hoped these techniques would facilitate the emergence of man's fullest potential. Melton observes that all of Houston's subsequent work has had its foundation in these ideas and the New Age notion of imminent planet-wide transformation of the human race. A reaching of a critical mass in consciousness, enough people with New Age worldview, all thinking and feeling the right way, inaugurating a quantum leap into utopia. Now, as a keynote speaker at the 1989 conference for the prestigious Public Educators Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, Houston told the 6,000 educators gathered from around the country how she contacted the Hindu goddess Sarasvati while meditating on the Ganges River in India. Houston continues to conduct workshops on the possible human, leading participants through a series of physical and mental exercises in which evolutionary memory is evoked. Besides Jung, Carl Jung that is, Houston draws much of her worldview from New Age mythologist Joseph Campbell. Houston and Master's book Mind Games reflects their New Age occultic worldview. They believe that every being is affected by whatever may happen to another being. Even plants are able, in some sense and to some degree, to share the conscious experience with all of their other living things. Readers are taught to meditate and seek contact with an entity called group spirit, which is the collective consciousness of all, enabling one to discover the collective wisdom, creativity, and ability of all. This further illustrates her commitment to occult psychologist Carl Jung's belief in archetypes and collective unconscious. And then finally, in other words, each cell contains, I don't have time to read the whole quote, contains actual memories of the entire alleged evolutionary process from the tiny amoeba to Jesus to Gandhi to Eleanor Roosevelt. The memories and life experiences of Eleanor Roosevelt are supposedly engraved in Mrs. Clinton's cellular psychic constitution. In fact, Woodward noted this about the thinking and beliefs into which Mrs. Houston's influence has led Mrs. Clinton. I'm going to skip that. We're almost out of time. Jean Houston has a New Age occult view of reality. She describes her conversation experience as a young girl futilely trying to get the Virgin Mary to appear to her. Suddenly, she had an experience she described as the key turned and the door to the universe opened. She and every aspect of nature, including the Virgin Mary, all became part of a single unity, and it was all very, very good. Houston fits the classic monistic pantheistic New Age mold, teaching that through meditative altered states, mystical and psychic experiences, including contact with the dead, one can awaken and evolve a new God being. However, the scriptures teach there is only one true God who did not evolve and needs no awakening. Moreover, necromancy, contact with the dead, is expressly forbidden in Deuteronomy 18:10-12. Houston also views Jesus as a mythological archetype, a symbolic myth. In one of her guided imagery, she takes students to a Holy Land tour. On a Holy Land tour, the student gets away from the tour group and discovers in a tomb the dead body of Christ. Well, I see I'm out of time. Aren't you glad that Hillary Clinton didn't win? This is the kind of influence that she was under. Anyway, God bless you all. I am out of time. I hope you'll be back next week. Good night.